so hype right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama, baby, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. I want to thank you for making this show part of your daily routine, whatever it is that you're doing, wherever you're going. I really do appreciate you listening to the podcast wherever you get it. I know we're having problems with Apple, but you can always try something else like Spotify, Google, a lot of other outlets out there. And of course, you can watch this show on YouTube, which I'm recording right here from the garden in the shadows of the banners after the Boston Celtics 130-124 loss to the Miami Heat. Another formulaic loss for the Celtics here. Evan Fournier led the Celtics with 30 points, 29 points for Jason Tatum, 18 for Kemba Walker, 16 each for Aaron Nesmith and Marcus Smart. Those are your statistical point scoring leaders for the Celtics. But really, the story of this game is that first half, where the Celtics came out, got down by 26, and just another day of trying to fight back. And it's really infuriating for a Celtics fan to watch these guys come out and play like they did. So in the first segment here, I am going to talk a little bit about just the flow of the game and the things that were happening. And then in the second segment, some of the things that the guys said. And in the third segment, I wrote a piece for Boston Sports Journal talking about how it was Tommy Heinsohn Day here for the Celtics were honoring Tommy Heinsohn. And I wrote a piece where I said they were disrespecting his legacy, which is getting some reaction on Twitter. I'll say that. I'm going to talk about that in the third segment so people can get a little more context of what I'm thinking and what I'm saying when I wrote that piece. So, but let's just start here with the Celtics. The first half, which was just brutal. They came out. It felt like they came out like trying to play the right way. And this is a typical story for the Celtics. Trying to play the right way and then things not working. It felt like they were afraid of Bam Adebayo. Bam was standing there in the center of the lane. They were playing a zone at first. The Celtics struggled again early with that zone. They were afraid to take it to the rim. There were a couple times where they got to the rim. In fact, one early play where Marcus Smart got it at the rim. They actually ran some pretty decent offense. They got it down to Marcus Smart down low, and he tried to kick it out to the corner, and it got picked off. And that happened a lot early on for the Celtics. They were running some offense. They were running things to kind of break that zone, and when the Heat switched to man, they did a decent enough job. They just didn't finish the plays, and they didn't finish off at the rim because I think Bam Adebayo was a big hindrance there, and the team just doesn't want to attack when Bam Adebayo or other bigs that can protect the rim are there. So the Celtics got stagnant after that. They started settling for jumpers. They were really settling for jumpers, and Miami came out and played well and started to build a lead. The Celtics did a decent job answering early on, but then they just kept piling on the mistakes. They kept piling on the turnovers. They kept piling on the misses. And the Heat decided that they just ran a lot off of those and took advantage of Boston starting to settle for the same things that we've seen, settle for jumpers and not play all the way through the offense, not get all the way to the rim. It wasn't until Marcus Smart started getting to the rim. He almost was like, you know what? I'm going to do this myself. And for a while, Marcus Smart did do it himself. And he was attacking. Didn't matter who was on him. He went by Adebayo. He went by Jimmy Butler. It was really kind of not easygoing, but Marcus made it look pretty good. And he was attacking. He scored, I think, three straight baskets. He had a step back three. And this is the thing with Marcus Smart. He hits that step back three. And then the next time down, what does he do? Heat check. And the Celtics at that point had cut the lead down to about 15, I think. It was in the second quarter. And Smart, after the Miami Heat miss a shot, Smart gets the ball over half court. They advance it up to him. He's on the left side, pulls up with 20 seconds left on the shot clock, and fires a three. The Celtics did a lot of that. Brad Stevens, you know, try to hit singles, not home runs. But it was the home run swings that they were trying to take. And it ended up costing them. And what we saw in this game was the Celtics making poor decisions, Miami capitalizing on that, and getting hot. It's the same thing that happened in Chicago, where the Celtics made bad decisions, and they're a step late on their rotations, and you end up sending two guys to the ball, and one guy doesn't rotate over, and the other team starts making shots because they're starting to get open shots. And then it's the same formula. You get open shots, then the tougher shots get easier. And the Heat started to make tougher looks as the game progressed. And I think the Celtics are just, they suffer from the lack of practice time for sure. They are not cohesive defensively. They actually scored, I think, what did they score? 53 points in the first half. That's acceptable for a team that shot poorly from three. That's acceptable. You know, you figure the second half things will even up a little bit, and they did. The Celtics ended up scoring 124 points. So what's that? 71 points in the second half? Like, that, obviously great. That's obviously great. But what they did is give up 79 points in the first half because Miami got going, and then all of a sudden Tyler Hero can't miss a shot, and Duncan Robinson's hitting shots, and these open, Kendrick Nunn is hitting threes. When you leave these guys open and they start feeling it, it doesn't take much for an NBA player to start feeling good about himself. And so that's what happened. And Miami started feeling real good about themselves. Second half, the Celtics start to get back into the swing of things, playing a little bit harder. As Brad Stevens likes to say, it's hard to play with a big early lead. So we saw Miami miss a few shots, get a little tight, and the Celtics playing loose and free start getting up and down and running the floor. You get Aaron Nesmith out there playing great. Aaron Nesmith had a really good game. If there's any positives, any upside from this, it's that Aaron Nesmith is really showing himself to be a pretty good basketball player. We just needed to wait a little bit here to get that Aaron Nesmith, but he's a pretty good basketball player. The other good sign is that Evan Fournier is showing that he can still shoot as he's continuing to progress from the return from COVID. He shot very well. In fact, in this game, he shot 11 of 16 in this game, 68%. Jason Tatum ended up shooting 68%, but he was so passive early that he didn't get going till the second half either. But Evan Fournier stepping up and showing, like, I mean, he's on fire right now, and he's still not 100%. And this falls into the, if they ever get whole, maybe they have a chance at doing something, but they're not, I don't think they're ever going to be whole at this point. Robert Williams left the game in the second half. He didn't come out of halftime. Turf toe. He started in this game, was okay, but didn't do much and left in the second half. So he couldn't finish the game. He might have to sit for a while. This is going to be a problem. In fact, I think that Robert Williams' injury is going to be the thing that kind of unravels things a little bit for the Celtics, because that's one injury that they really can't afford to have. And what makes this injury difficult, it's not like the knee swelling that had to go down, or it's not like the hip thing. Like the turf toe is going to be painful, and it's just a matter of pain management for Robert Williams. And I don't know, like, if he can't be himself, I've said this a couple times on the podcast, if he can't be himself, then the Celtics are in trouble, because they don't have anybody that duplicates what his impact is on the game. You know, like last season, I thought Daniel Tice was that kind of guy where he, when you, if you lost Daniel Tice, then there was nobody that could replace what he did. He's not the most important player on the team, but he also sort of is really, really important in a lot of ways. And that's what Robert Williams has become. So that injury has hurt the Celtics a lot as well. I'm going to take a break and continue talking about the game and some of the things that they said afterwards, which just blow your mind. But first, let me tell you about Indeed. If you're the hiring expert for your company, what you really need is help making your short list of quality candidates. You need a hiring partner who makes your life easier. You need Indeed. It is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. Post, screen, and interview all on Indeed. Get a quality short list of candidates whose resume on Indeed match your job description faster. Only pay for the candidates that meet must-have qualifications and schedule and complete video interviews on your Indeed dashboard. Indeed makes connecting with and hiring the right talent fast and easy, and with tools like Indeed Instant Match, giving you quality candidates whose resume on Indeed fits your job description, and Indeed skills test that on average reduces hiring time by 27%. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all job sites combined. That's a big number. Get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/locked. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/locked. Indeed.com/locked. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. Now, after the game, obviously the big talk for this, what the hell happened at the start of this game. And Brad Stevens took it upon himself. I mean, he's been getting a ton of the blame, and he accepted that blame after the game. In fact, let me play you what he said.
Well, they outplayed us, obviously, in the first half. There's no excuse for that. I mean, we certainly, anybody on the Celtics side, we're all responsible for that. But first and foremost, I think that, you know, that would fall on me. And so we have to do a better job. We have not been good on several occasions this year starting games. I did think that we showed some signs of life at times and some things that we can build off of. And this game forced us to try some things we haven't done as much. And so we'll move from there. But listen, it's I mean, you look out there, Gary, we're small. And so we have to fight. Like, we have to be super hard playing, super physical, and super difficult to play against. And we weren't in the first 24 minutes.
So Brad puts it on himself and doing what a coach is supposed to do after a loss, and especially a loss like that, trying to divert things back to himself. And certainly Brad can do things differently. It's tough when your big Robert Williams is not playing at 100% and he's not able to do a lot of the things that he normally could do, and putting pressure, like having Robert Williams against Bam Adebayo, I think would have been, having him at 100%. I think that would have been a fantastic matchup to see that kind of back and forth, those guys, the way they could put pressure on the rim. So he's not playing well. He's not feeling well. So you put in Tristan Thompson and it's just a little bit different. And Thompson has this tendency to go for his own offense and didn't do it as much as he did in the Chicago game, but it's a little bit different. Now, Thompson played fine. He played fine. But the options that Brad Stevens has are limited when it comes to fixing things in that moment. It really falls on, to me, it always falls on the players to get themselves out of it. Now, Brad Stevens can do different things. Can he call a timeout quicker? Sure, he can call timeouts earlier, but you only have so many timeouts in the NBA. If you call a timeout and your team doesn't come out and play well after that, then there's not much you can do. It's really on the players to go out there and execute the game plan. And what really bugs me about the way the Celtics are playing, or at least the way they played in the first half, is that they gave up very easily. And this is what the Celtics do right now. They give up on things very easily. They don't play through the adversity. And that's a real hard thing to do. Playing through the adversity is difficult. Being able to get blocked at the rim, but still attack and still force somebody like Bam Adebayo to defend the rim. Like it's hard, but the more you do it, the more you attack, the more you put pressure on a guy like Adebayo to make a play, the more you put pressure on the defense, the other defense, to make plays. Now, the Celtics were very sloppy and very lazy with their passes. There were a couple of dribble handoffs that the Heat got their hand on. They're very active with their hands. And it was tough to watch the Celtics kind of go through that and not put forth the level of effort that you need to play and win a game like this. This is a game that obviously the way they played in the second half was winnable. If you come out early and play like you're supposed to, then you're going to be in this game. If the Celtics played hard and lost, not a big deal. Like it is what it is. Miami's a good team. They're playing better. They're pretty close to fully healthy. And Jimmy Butler is having a very underrated, great season. I understand if the Celtics lose to Miami. Miami is not as bad as their record has said. You know, I think Miami, Boston, Dallas, LA, other teams, Washington, they've all been hurt this season for a lot of different reasons. Miami and Boston, especially because of their deep playoff run. I'm on record as saying all of that stuff. I think that if the Celtics matched Miami just in intensity from the start, then the chips fall where they may. And I come onto this podcast and I say, it is what it is, and we move forward. And that's the end of it. Miami's a better team. I'm happy to say that another team is better than the Celtics. But the Celtics, I don't know if they're better than Miami right now. I mean, obviously Miami's better. They were certainly better today, but we don't know head to head if this team is really as good as Miami, because they came out for half this game and played like crap. Now, maybe they get Jaylen Brown on Tuesday night, but if the Celtics don't put forth that effort, then they are going to get blown out again early. This formula is just ridiculous. And I think that the Celtics need to, I don't know, find a way, find it within them. Evan Fournier said after the game, find it within them, find it within yourself to get that effort, to put forth that effort. You got to find it within you to do it. And so we'll see if they can do it. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball is in full swing. Obviously, you can bet on the NBA, NHL, anything, any sport that's out there, even UFC, MMA, whatever. You can bet on at Bet Online. Get there, use your laptop, mobile device, and check out all the great sports news, sign up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get in the game and prep for your team's deep run into the playoffs. I say your team because it might not be the Celtics. Head on over to betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. Get 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So whatever you want to deposit, $100, you get a $50 welcome bonus at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Please gamble responsibly. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the market. Whatever one is your favorite, if you talk to a Built Bar fan, you know that there are a lot of great flavors out there. Things like mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel. But even those flavors are generally healthy for you. I mean, all of these have just about 17 grams of protein, only about 130 to 170 calories or so, and 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs. That's a great protein bar for all of those great flavors. I love them. I have one just about every day. In fact, I'm waiting for my stock to replenish. I've got to go order more when I go to builtbar.com and use that promo code LOCK15 go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15. You're going to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. That's LOCKED15 at BuiltBar.com.
Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
So on Boston Sports Journal, I wrote a piece that is somewhat of a topic on Twitter, saying that on Tommy Heinsohn Day, which it was here at the TD Garden, the Boston Celtics disrespected Tommy's legacy by with their effort, basically. And that was my way of saying I want to explain it because I think a lot of people are reacting to the title, which I didn't think was bad. If it was bad, I'm certainly willing to change it. I didn't think it was. I think actually the way I wrote the piece and the way I wanted it to come off was Tommy Heinsohn was about one thing in Boston. It was about effort, maximum effort all the time. And the way the Celtics played on this parquet under these banners was not indicative of how Celtics basketball is supposed to be played. And that's why I said they disrespected Tommy Heinsohn's legacy, because they're disrespecting the Boston Celtics legacy by playing the way they play. It's not whether they win or lose. It's not about going out there and like saying, let's do it for Tommy. Like, I'm not trying to use Tommy Heinsohn's name and death as some sort of thing here. It's we are watching the Boston Celtics. I'm sitting here, if you're watching on YouTube, I got banners over my shoulder. I got retired numbers back there just off of frame. Tommy's number is up there. A lot of guys' numbers are up there. And this team has to do one thing, play hard. Play hard. So, yeah, on a night where they were honoring Tommy Heinsohn, this Celtics team played nothing like any Tommy Heinsohn team would play. Okay, they came back in the second half, but I discount the comeback a little bit because the other team ends up playing a little loose with the lead. You relax a little bit with the lead. Brad Stevens always says it's terrifying to get a big early lead because those always tend to slip away to some degree. And so the other team has to be complicit in the comeback. What I'm talking about is what we saw in the first half here against Miami, what we saw in the first half against Chicago, what we've seen over and over and over again from these Boston Celtics. So it's not, we talk about Celtics basketball. We talk about the legacy of just this franchise, what this franchise means to basketball, that these guys come out and consistently disrespect the history of this franchise. They disrespect the game of basketball. Now, I'm a big believer in the Celtics this season have been impacted by COVID. They've been impacted by the short turnaround. They've been impacted by a lot of things. And I understand them not winning games. I understand them maybe falling short in games. But if the Celtics had come out in this game and played their asses off in the first half and played their asses off throughout the game and fell apart down the stretch, you know what I would say? I would say that they actually fought and played in a way that would make this franchise proud, that makes you proud to watch these jerseys play under these banners on that parquet floor, which it's the ice right now, but it's not, but you know what I'm saying. That is what I'm looking for. That is what I'm talking about. That over and over and over again, this team has come out lazy, lackadaisical. This first half was just another. Brad Stevens said it after the game. Just when we're not engaged, we're not good. The players said it after the game. Jason Tatum said it after the game. I don't know. Maybe we're a little too comfortable. Why are you too comfortable? I don't understand why you would be comfortable. You're playing a team that's ahead of you in the standings. That's what I'm talking about. Now, I never expected this team on Tommy Heinsohn Day to be sitting in the back going, let's do it for Tommy. Like, not it. If you read the piece, I think you get the gist of what I'm saying. Was the piece harsh? Yeah, because we're at the end of the season and they still haven't learned any of their lessons. But I think harsh, but I don't think I said anything out of turn. I don't think I said anything that doesn't really apply to this team. I don't think I said anything that was wrong about this team. That when they go out there and they play like they played in the first half, that's disrespectful. That's disrespectful to the people who paid the money to show up. That's disrespectful to the people who came before them. I mean, it's just a disrespectful way to play the game. I don't expect them to do a whole lot. I don't expect them to go off and win a championship. And I don't expect them to play great all game long. Okay? I expect them to come out and play hard and put the work in and follow through on what they're supposed to do. That's what I expect of this team. I expect them to do what they should do on the floor, what they get paid to do, what they've worked their asses off to do. And frankly, like, they're disrespecting themselves in a lot of ways because they've gone through this season and have gone through COVID. And for them to come out in games like this and just not put forth the effort, it's mind-boggling to me. They had it in them. Clearly, you saw it in the second half. Like, it takes two to tango in that second half comeback. The Celtics had that energy. So I don't know what the answer is, but I tell you what, I stand by it. They were playing in a disrespectful manner to the game of basketball and all of the people that play the game of basketball every day the right way. That's what I mean by disrespecting. And yeah, today was Tommy Heinsohn Day. And I thought it was a good backdrop to highlight exactly how badly they were playing, because Tommy Heinsohn was notorious for running teams out of the gym, having your team in such great shape that fourth quarter came around, the other team just quit. They broke. And it's a different era and it's a different time. And I don't expect these guys to play like they did back then. Players and coaches had different relationships back then. But if there's one thing that Tommy was known for as a coach and as a player, was running up and down, run, work. And to see these guys go out there and play like that against the backdrop of Tommy Heinsohn Day, it's like, man, this really is bad. It really is disrespectful. So I don't mean to be disrespectful to Tommy and his memory. I'm not trying to use Tommy and his memory in any insidious way. I'm not trying to clickbait people, as I've been accused of on Twitter. I genuinely feel like the way they've played was disrespectful. So that's what I mean. And I hope people read the piece and say that they understand what I'm saying. You can disagree with me, but that's where I'm coming from on that piece. And I stand by it. So hopefully you like it. If you don't, you don't. So be it. Hopefully you like the podcast. Hopefully you like the YouTube show. And subscribe if you haven't subscribed. And share it. Tell your friends that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.